Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. Today's message is entitled, The Cost of Love. Would you please bow down your heads for a prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, with such a complex word, which is love, with such a confusion in our world, when everybody don't completely understand not only what love is, but the cost of love, we ask you please to be present to inspire us to understand, Lord, how much you love us and how much it cost you to redeem us. As we celebrate this special occasion, communion, we are celebrating the love that you have for us as our Creator, as our Redeemer. Allow us, Lord, to also not only embrace this love, but also, Lord, make it alive in our existence. So to everyone that we relate to, we may reveal the same kind of love to them. We ask these blessings upon each one that chose to be here today. In the name of Christ we ask, Lord, amen. The question is, what is love? You know, we live in a society that is we misuse the word love so many times. You have heard me say before, people say, oh, I love pizza. Oh, I love this. And there are a lot of things that actually we cannot love. It's not possible. And sometimes the word love can lead people to worship things. Because love, it is not something that you apply to objects. We cannot love things. And one of the commandments, you know, tells us clearly not to make an object of reverence or love of objects. We cannot make idols. So let me give you a few things here that we found what somebody said about what love is. For example, one person said, when was asked, what is love? The person says, it is silence when your words would hurt. It is patience when others are inert. It is deafness when gossip flows. It is thoughtfulness for others' woes. It is promptness when stern duty calls. And it is courage when adversity falls. Another question that somebody may ask, okay, what does love do? I put together a list of seven actions of love. Here's the first one. Love creates. Yes, love has the power to create a lot of wonderful things, memories, and so many other things love creates. Yes, love creates. Love provides. Yes, love provides. Another one is love delivers. Love gives. Love forgives. Love lives. And finally, love is eternal, so love outlives everything. A while ago, in a Trinidad's newspaper, I'm talking about Trinidad, the country, Trinidad y Tobago, a newspaper, there was an account of a meeting regarding government providing school education. During that meeting, former Labor Minister René Dumas, the main speaker, said this, there is no such thing as free education. Of course, this is still true, it's still the truth, no matter where do you live. There's no such thing as free education. But people tend to overlook this fact because at the time they receive their education, they do not make any formal payment each time they go to school, each time they get some books. And so they may assume that everything is for free. In such a system, it is easy to overlook the undeniable fact that somebody is actually paying for the buildings, for the equipment, for the books, for the teachers, for the janitors, for the administration, for all the cost of electricity, everything else, that air condition, everything, the meals that are being provided, everything that is provided, somebody actually is paying for it. Those costs are being covered by the society that is paid tax in order to cover the cost of all those things that have been provided. Such a system tends to hide the costs. And so many forget that there is even cost involved. Brothers and sisters, if there is one truth that we must know, it's very important for us to know that nothing is free. There is no such a thing as a free meal. Welfare system costs billions of dollars every year to this country, to the citizens of this country. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment compensation, transportation systems that include buses, trains, highways, are all very costly. Very costly. In these modern times, there is a fact of life. We know there is a fact of life. Nevertheless, we must keep the cost in mind. Or because of a sinful indifference, there is a high risk that we may overlook the cost and who is putting effort to pay for it, to provide those benefits to those who received them and needed them. We will gradually take the benefits for granted if we are not careful and use them without any gratitude in our hearts, because sometimes we may feel like we are entitled to them. Closer to our own home, it's very important for us to indeed to pay attention to our children when we give them a gift. Notice as the child treats that gift, when it first receives, oh, there is pleasure, there is joy and everything else. But once that initial emotion goes past by, there is that toy on the corner. You no longer pay attention to that toy. It's ready, waiting for a next one, another toy. And some of our parents here, especially in the United States, our children have so many toys, they don't even have time to appreciate any of them. The struggle is not, what else am I going to play with? Because there are so many options. So our children do not learn appreciation for the quality of what they receive. Unfortunately, it is more often learned through deprivation, unless the child has unusually wise parents that teach them the value of everything, to appreciate everything, and to be responsible for the things, for the gifts that they receive. The love of God is the greatest gift we will ever receive. Nothing is greater than that. And of course, everything else that we have, like life and other things, are just the benefits that comes with that gift, the gift of love. The benefits of God's love are everlasting. I used to say, the benefits are out of this world. They are the greatest that we can imagine. In all the scriptures today is 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. And I find amazing how in John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16 are almost one complements the other. So let's go to John chapter 3, verse 16. We all know these words by heart. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." One thing that I noticed as I was studying in the scriptures is that love always have life beside it. Every time we talk about love, life is right by, because it's just part of the same. It says here, "For God so loved you, my brother, my sister, that he himself," yes, Abba himself, the Creator, "put on our uniform." I can imagine Jesus Christ, the Creator of the universe, taking his royal robe and put the janitor uniform and came down to do the sun cleaning. And what substance did he use in order to make sure that he could clean all the stain, every single germ? His own blood. Yes, he came to clean up what we did. Yes, by choice, we brought sin to this world. And not only upon us, but upon every single living creature. The trees, the birds, the animals on the ground, under the ground, in the sea, in the rivers, in the air. Everything was contaminated. We live now through a pandemic. And we can relate to that, how a virus can go from place to place, be transported and contaminated and bringing death. So the Creator himself, because he is love and because he loved his creation, he put on a uniform and he came because of you. He came so that you, if you choose to believe in him, on the power of his healing, you should not perish, but you will live forever. In 1 John 3:16, which I find very, almost like a follow-up for what he said in 3:16, 1 John 3:16, New Living Translation, it says this: "We know what real love is." Oh, yes, we know what real love is. Not the fake love that the world talks about all the time, but the real love is. Because. How powerful that word there. Because. Jesus gave up his life for you and I. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. I like to say that everything that love does, love gives. And it is impossible for love to exist without giving. And one of the greatest gifts of love, of course, is life. And without life, love or anything else, we have no meaning. So God gave us love, gave us life, so that we should love our brothers and sisters in the same way, so that we can also dedicate our lives to each other. Throughout the centuries, it started with Adam and Eve. Remember when God came to them asking, "Where are you? Adam, where are you?" They were hidden after they commit sin. Why? Because they say, "We are ashamed." And then God says, "Well, who make you notice that you are naked?" And of course, God knew the answer. But God wants them to speak up and realize what they have done, so God can start the process of healing. Because until a person admits the wrong, it's impossible for God to help. Just like with us, until we confess, admit our faults, God's mercies, God's love cannot reach us. Sin can become a block between us and God, between his love and us and our needs. And so in order for his love to come to us, he must at all cost, we must at all cost bring down the wall. And the wall can only be brought down by God's grace and mercy. It is love who makes that possible. And so right there, God provided them proper clothing, because they put leaves upon themselves And that's typical of humans. When we sin, we try to cover our sins with our own leaves, fig leaves. But God decided to cover them with a proper clothing. And what was that? An animal skin. That means that was the first lesson of the cost of love that Adam and Eve learned. Two innocent animals have to give their lives to cover their shame, to provide them cover. And since then, animals have been used throughout the history for 4,000 years before Christ himself came, the Lamb of God came. You know, bulls, goat, sheep, kid of goats or lambs, they do not have human feelings, but they were put in a situation to represent Christ. Yes, the sinlessness of Christ. An innocent animal paying for the sin of humans. The life of Jesus Christ, it is a symbol of a life without sin. And that's why he came and paid for our sins himself. We will never know. But just to give an approximate idea, Josephus, he mentioned this in the middle of the first century, Josephus. He wrote that the Romans took a census of all the lambs that were killed in Jerusalem for a Passover 1 year. And the number that Josephus report was is that in that particular census that they took, 256,000 lambs were killed just for that Passover. More than 250,000 lambs died to illustrate the lesson that the innocent was given his or her life in order to save a guilty one, to provide forgiveness. The cost of love. Can you imagine in 4,000 years how many innocent animals gave up their lives in order to represent the innocence of Christ and the guilty of humans? Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, New Century Version says this. I hope you underline, mark this in your Bible. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, New Century Version. It says, "So brothers and sisters, since God has shown us great mercy, since God has shown this great love, I beg you to offer your lives as a living sacrifice to him as well. Your offering must be only for God and pleasing to him, which is the spiritual way for you to worship him. Do not be shaped by this world. Instead, be changed within by a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to decide what God wants for you. You will know what is good and pleasing to him, and what is perfect." Paul also said to the Romans in chapter 5, verse 5, New Living Translation, he says, "And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know," emphasis on "we know," "for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Not only he gave us his Son, but he gave us his Holy Spirit to reside in us, so that we will have his love and will know to love as he loves." The love of God, the biblical love, the agape, is not a mere emotion or affection based on feelings, but it is God's creative presence in us, which is greater than our own selves. this love which we have by nature as a gift from God will sacrifice itself for the well-being of others, even enemies, even those that are our enemies. It will choose to lay down its life following the pattern shown by our Lord Himself in His own life. Love comes as a gift of a high cost gift, but it is also rewarding because as we make our choices to please God by following Jesus Christ, we will transform more fully into His own image due to the following of the pathway that our Lord leaves right before us. To illustrate, Jesus Christ used to illustrate love and the cost of love, Jesus used a story about a widow. In Mark 12, the book of Mark, chapter 12, 41 to 44, in a New Living Translation, we read, Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowd dropped in their money. Many rich people put a large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow, and you can imagine she was still walking away from the box. Jesus pointed to her and says, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. Do you know why? For they gave the tiny part, tiny little bit, and Jesus used the word tiny in contrast with the tiny little coins of the widow. He says, for they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, the poor as she is, has given everything she has to live on. And I like this expression because it says, basically what Jesus Christ says, it looks like she says, she has given her life. Because that's what, everything that she has to live on means she no longer has anything to keep her alive. She gave everything. She gave her life. She did not give what was a surplus or a tiny portion of what she has in abundance. No, she brought her life and she gave everything. That is true love. That's what Jesus Christ was talking about, the cost of love. Love and life has to be always together, or they are not part of each other. True love always involves life. So what is love? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, New Living Translation is one of the best of all the definitions that I have found in my life. Because it says, by no one who does not love, but anyone who does not love does not know God. And here is the definition. For God is love. Now, we ask that you please open your Bibles in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 13. New Century Version says, I may speak in different languages of people or even angels, but if I do not have love, I am only a noise bell or a cracking cymbal. In other words, I'm just a noise. I may have the gift of prophecy or to know the future. I may understand all the secret things of God and the mysteries of all knowledge. And I may have faith so great I can move mountains with it. But even with all these things, if I do not have love, then I am nothing. Now remember, love is God. So when He says, I can do this, I can do that, I have all those abilities, But if God is not part of what I do, I am just nothing. I am dead. I have no life. I have no existence. Without love, without God, I have no life. I may give away everything I have. I may even give my body as an offering to be burned. But I gain nothing if God is not there, if I have not love. Love is patient and kind. Verse 4, he says, love is patient and kind. And then he says, and because God is love and kind, and because love is patient and kind, and because that love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Love is not proud. Love is not rude. Love is not selfish. Love does not get upset with others. Love does not count up wrongs that have been done. In other words, brothers and sisters, because God is patient and kind, He's never jealous. He's not a proud God, arrogant God. He's not rude. He's not selfish. He does not get upset with others. He is a forgiving God. He doesn't count up the wrongs and keep insisting. God takes no pleasure in evil, but He rejoices with the truth because He is the truth. Love patiently accepts all things. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. And love always endures. God trusts, God hopes, God always endures because God's eternal. And that's what verse 8 says. Love never ends because God is eternal. And anyone who is in God, who is in God's love, will last forever. There are gifts of prophecy, but they will end. There are gifts of speaking in different languages, but those gifts will stop one day. There is the gift of knowledge, but it will come to an end as well. The reason is that our knowledge and our ability to prophesy are not perfect. But when perfection comes, oh, and it is coming. When perfection comes, and dear brothers and sisters, it is coming. The things that are not perfect, yes, all the bunch of things that are not perfect will end. Imperfection will come to end, and the destroyer will come to its end with all the imperfection that he has caused. Paul says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, though, I stopped those childish ways. It is the same with us today. Now we see just in a dim reflection, because sin is blocking our vision, as we are looking to a mirror. But when we shall see clearly then, because all this sin will be moved away, and our vision will be restored completely. Just like Saul, when he saw Jesus in the way to Damascus. Now I know only in part. Yes, sin limited my ability to know. But by then I will know fully as God has known me now. And by the way, to know is the Bible's synonymous of love. So in other words, now I love only in part. My love is imperfect because sin is present. But then I will have the complete knowledge of love, the love that God is, because then I will know God as God knows me now. What a beautiful time is coming. Yes, perfection is coming, brothers and sisters. So these three things continue forever. Forever. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of this is love, because love is God. In conclusion for this message, I say this to you. Jesus has an invitation for you and for me. You find that invitation in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, in the New Century Version. It says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock." Can you hear? Do you hear? He says, "I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with you. And you will eat with me as well." Please, for you to see more details about Jesus' invitation, open your Bibles, please, in John chapter 13, verse 12 to 17. I'm reading again from the New Century Version. It says, verse 12, when he, Jesus, had finished washing their feet, his disciples' feet, he put on his robe and sat down again. He asked them, "Do you understand what I have just done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash each other's feet. I did this as an example so that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, a servant is not greater than his master. A messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. If you know those things, you'll be blessed if you do them." So, brothers and sisters, Jesus is asking us to take the position of a servant. To love is to give. To give is to love. To love is to live. To live is to love. So at this time, we'll be taking 10 minutes to the foot washing ceremony. So now it is 3 minutes to 12. It's 11:59 right now. And in 10 minutes we'll come back to continue. And Sister Dawn will sing "Just As I Am" in 10 minutes from now. Let's separate for the foot washing.